Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer once again, and then we'll go ahead this evening. And I've got a couple points for you tonight, and break it up once again and have the next section on next Sunday evening after our fellowship. Remember again, next Sunday we'll have an afternoon service instead of an evening service. That way we'll have the rest of the day off after our time of fellowship together over lunch. Father, again, we do ask your blessings upon our time together tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the time as we spend together in your word. Father, may you challenge our hearts to help us to reevaluate, Lord, some things, Lord, that we might need to. And Lord, things are just reminding us of things, Lord, as we evaluate in looking inwardly for the aspect of being a casual believer or a Christ-like believer. Bless now, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust everyone has a handout for tonight. Last week, I'll go briefly, real quick, over some of the things we looked at last week. Again, let me remind you, there is a vast difference between those in the early church and Christians today. I think we would all agree with that statement. Those in the early church not only said they believed God's word, but they acted in belief. They acted upon those things. And last week, we looked at four things. Do you love your enemies like Christ? Do you respond to suffering like Christ? And then we looked at, do you really believe in Bible study? And then tonight we'll look at, I think, two as we have time. Number four, do you really believe in church discipline? Oh, what a sticky one here. Do you really believe in church discipline? All of my years in ministry, I've seen cases where church discipline needed to be carried out. However, I've only seen it twice. Once in a church where I was on staff, where I learned something greatly from Dr. Thompson on how to handle it. Did a magnificent job. In fact, he did so well, I wrote it on sticky notes, put it in my Bible, and I still carry it with me. And this is going back years ago. And I have had to use it once before in a church we pastored while serving the U.S. military. And there's one thing about true repentance, and when you do have to carry it out, people are appreciative. Especially those that are in the wrong, getting back where they need to be. And it's such a beautiful scene to see a church rally around an individual that had fallen into sin, who wanted to make it right, and their church family lovingly forgave them, embraced them, prayed for them, and helped them to be restored. It is a beautiful picture. A hard thing, but a beautiful picture. So let's look at a couple things. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pause. If I know I put it in your notes, but if you'd like to turn in your Bible there, maybe make a few notes. I'm going to give you time to do that, or you can write on your handout and do it later. But first of all, a couple things here that I really believe that is lacking and should be practiced for church discipline. And number one, for false doctrine. We don't have that too often in churches. Every once in a while, there is a happy people come in. They sow discord. And most of the time is they do it on purpose. But yet, nonetheless, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words. Thereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. We are not to have association with them. We're not to be a part of them. And we need to be very careful, because it does happen on occasion where those that may come in. There was a time in years gone by, I haven't seen it in many years, but there is a group, a couple groups, some of those groups that like to wear the name tags on their pocket. I've seen them come into churches so bold, leaving their little name tag on and talking to people and trying to draw people out between or after services. Now, we don't have to worry about church discipline with them, because they're not members. We just need to throw them out, but in love. But again, we need to be cautious. That's what I have Carrie and Robert back there for. Not only false doctrine, but for immorality. For immorality. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 1 through 2 and verses 6 through 7. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And they are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that they that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. For glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Pretty obvious to me that leaven here is a picture of sin. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that it may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us. Now, I'll get a little bit later in Scripture about how to handle it. But again, not just false doctrine, but for immorality. There's a way to do it. There's a right way to approach it. I think the Word of God, in many cases, some of you may be familiar with Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored for many years, preached up and through his 90s, even still preaching. I didn't agree with him on everything, but there's one thing that he made very clear. The best way to keep from having you simply having to counsel your people day in and day out, the best way to take care of not worrying about needing to have church discipline too often, he said, just preach the word and don't leave anything out. Preach it all. The whole counsel of God. The Holy Spirit will take care of much of it, but sometimes you have to. And here we've seen two examples. Here's another one. For disorderly walk in laziness. Boy, you believe that? For disorderly walk in laziness. So look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and we'll read this lengthy passage together, verse 6 through 15. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which is received from us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I'm not against those who need help, but this is very clear. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. There's a big difference, and I've heard, and I've been to churches where they shun people, and I believe they did it the wrong way. I believe they were doing it for the right reason, but doing it the wrong way. And that aspect of shunning, again, it says here in that passage of Scripture, but we need to admonish him as a brother. It needs to be done in love. It needs to be done the right way. And if it's family members, I don't think it means that you never go see them or never have them in your home, but I think you may have to be cautious on how you do it, how it's approached, but also remember to remind them on occasion, we haven't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten. Like I said this morning, I've got two nephews that are homosexuals. Now, I don't go out with them. They don't go out with me. They probably wouldn't take me out. If they wanted me to go out with them, I would be happy because I would think maybe the Lord was dealing with them and they wanted to talk about them. But at a family function, I see them. I greet them. If there's a family function and it's in my home, I tell them, don't bring your partner. But I still want to admonish them as a brother, in this case as a nephew or a family member, but at the same time we are to mark them very clearly. We're to have no company with them. We need to be very careful, but yet here it is in the Word of God, for a disorderly walk and for laziness. The next one, for those who cause divisions. This is probably the easiest one, those that cause divisions. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and verse number 18. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, by good works and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. We are to avoid them. I was in a church some years ago, and walked right in the back door was a couple of gentlemen that wear those name tags in the church. And I was scheduled to speak that night. And the pastor recognized them right away. He came to me and said, Brother Cook, I know you're speaking tonight. I just want to let you know that we have two in our congregation today. My ushers are aware. They have relocated themselves to sit behind them and next to them, in front of them. And if there's any problems, they will handle it. You just keep preaching. Now, needless to say, our Lord has a wonderful sense of humor and had a very easy gateway, one of my points, to preach against some of their beliefs and, of course, give an invitation at the end for those who cause divisions. I am so blessed I've never pastored a church. Never in my life have I pastored a church and had an overwhelming problem with false doctrine or for those who cause divisions. And then those on the outside, we've had those involved in morality. We've had those that were a little bit disorderly in some areas that I had to confront and to deal with. But they always responded in the right way when I approached them, the right way with biblical principles and love. But I've never had this aspect of those who cause divisions on the inside. But I've had plenty of them on the outside, always causing, talking about, or trying to influence things in our ministry. But needless to say, the same way, even though they're not a member, you still mark them. I take notice of them. I love them. I pray for them. I don't avoid them, but I let other people see me being kind to them. We were in the food court in a mall type thing some years ago, and somebody had been very critical of me in the ministry of the church I was pastoring, and I had heard about it, but I didn't know that it was true. I saw that individual in the dining room there in the food court. I got me something, probably a cup of coffee. I don't think it was a mealtime, and I sat down with them at the table. And I sat down and asked them how they were doing. Do you mind if we sit here and chit-chat a little bit? And we talked for a few moments. Sometimes later, somebody came by and said, Pastor, do you realize that he has been railing on you and Miss Michelle in our ministry? I said, that's what I heard. But I wonder how many today that heard him say that, walked by and saw us talking together, thought he wasn't telling the truth. I thought it was a simple, easy way to be kind, set the signal that maybe things aren't always as they appear. And then before I got up, I gave him a track. I invited him to church. And in fact, while we were even talking, I even talked a little bit about the Lord. Now, he didn't get up. He didn't yell at me. He didn't storm off. He sat there and entertained my kindness. Let's move on. Not only for those who cause divisions, but for offenses without repentance. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll look for there. And this is a proper way to handle church discipline here in the book of Matthew. Offenses without repentance. Matthew 18, beginning verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What's that next word? Alone. In private, just the two of you, not in the food court, not in the foyer, not somewhere in the mall or in public, but in private. Sit down, have a conversation with him or him and her and him, whatever the case may be, and let them know of the concern that you have in love the right way. And here's what it says next. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. What a wonderful thing to restore a relationship that's been broken because you handled it the right way, the Bible way. Sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. And here's when head step number two when it doesn't work. Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now there's no gossip. Now there's no opportunity to do something else. Now you're not in a situation where they can say something because you have one or two witnesses with you. I'd rather have two and not just one, personally. Now, in my ministry, I have never been in a position where I had to go to step two, only step one. And they responded. In fact, they called me and Miss Michelle to come to them because there's something that they had done wrong. They need to ask our forgiveness. They've already asked the Lord, and they asked us, what is next? Now, since it was a public sin and not just against Michelle and I, I told them I think we need to bring it to the church because eventually it's going to get out. Let's get ahead of the devil. And we did, and it was such a beautiful thing as our church people came forward without me even asking them, and just circled around them and loved on them and told them, we forgive you. We forgive you. And we had a time of prayer, and we put them on a period of restoration within the church, and they responded well for quite some time. What a blessing. Let's go a little further. Take one or two more, that is in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if they shall neglect to hear them, then we go to three, which I just shared with you. Tell it unto the church. But if they neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee an heathen man and a publican. I realize that sometimes people respond that way. I've never been in that position where they refuse to hear it from me, later from the deacons or leadership of the church, and then later from the church itself, they refuse to respond, and so we had to isolate them. I've never had that happen. I've never went past step one. I've heard others that had to go to step two, and I know others that had to go to the third step. I know it happens, but the Lord has not put me in a position where we had to go through that. Dear friends, when the church must practice discipline for public sin, here's my question. Do you side with the pastor, the deacons, and church, or with the one being disciplined? It doesn't matter if it's friend, foe, or family. It really doesn't. Is friend or family above sound doctrine in a clean church? What is more important to you? keeping a relationship, fear that you'll lose your child, fear you'll lose your family member, or more of the protection, the cleanliness, and importance of your church family. And by the way, let me remind you, the church is the bride of Christ. So where do we stand in that area? It is hard. It is, but it's biblical. And when it's done the right way, we are more acting more like true believers, Christ-like believers, than we are casual believers. Our world is full of casual believers that look out of a congregation of sinful lifestyle going on that's never dealt with at all. And week after week after week. And I know that not because I pastor churches like that, but I have met people with my military career, being around the military, and I use them for this reason. Any sin that you can think of, any reason for any complication, it's usually two or threefold among the military. It's tough. It's a hard life. But nonetheless, in many occasions, I've talked to men and pastors that have wrung their hands out, not knowing what to do, or afraid they'll lose them. My answer is always this. You've already lost them. You already have. They're just in your building pretending to be something they're not, living like the devil all week, showing up on Sunday, and they think everything's all right. You know why they think everything's all right? Because you haven't told them otherwise. How many of them would repent? How many of us, it might be you, I'm not going to ask too many personal questions. How many of you know someone that got so far away from the Lord, you thought they'd never get back, but because somebody loved them enough to confront them, to preach the word, they heard the preaching, they got right with God and got back in church? I know I have. Not me personally, but I know people that way. I know family members that way. I know colleagues that way from my military days. And it happened because the church loved them enough to speak the truth, and they carried it out the right way for offenses without repentance here in Matthew chapter 18. So is our friendship or sound doctrine in a clean church more important to us? Hopefully, the latter. Are you a casual believer or are you Christ-like believer? Number five, do you really believe in tithing? Now, I already know the answer to this, but it's just along with the series here, I think that we should include 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Tithing goes all the way back to the beginning. The tenth is our rent for living upon this earth and receiving all the blessings God has given unto us. The air we breathe, things that we have, the blessings that we have. The Old Testament storehouse was the temple. The New Testament storehouse is the local church. So are we casual believers? Are we Christ-like believers in following the commandments and teachings of the Lord? Number six, do you love the lost like Christ? Boy, this is a hard one here. Do you love the lost like Christ? I have been under conviction so many times about soul winning and about witnessing and not taking the opportunities that God puts right in front of me sometimes. I mean, how often do we get in opportunities? How often do we have a captive audience to be able to witness, to talk to someone where they've got nowhere to go? Think about it for a moment. When you get in an elevator in one of those big old buildings, when those doors close, they ain't getting off till it opens again. Invite them to church. Introduce yourself. Tell them what your name is and invite them. And take that opportunity. Filling up that gas tank at the gas station. They pull up in that big SUV. You've got several minutes, especially if they're on empty. Why not invite them to church? Worst thing they can do is say, shut up and go pump your own gas. That didn't hurt. Didn't hurt at all. Well, hey, sorry. Just thought you might be interested. Just thought you might not be a God hater. God bless you. I'll go pump my gas. Handle it. Handle it how you want to handle it. But why not do what we can to tell others about Christ? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have been commanded by Christ. He came to seek. In other words, to look for and to save that which was lost. Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we help missionaries on the field to get the gospel where they are. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do you actually speak to the lost about their eternal souls? Are we to go out and look for someone and corner someone every time we go out? No. But if we use wisdom and ask the Lord to open doors and give us opportunities, I think we'll be surprised when he does. Maybe some folks may say, I believe in soul winning is a Bible doctrine and that the Great Commission applies to every believer. But the question is, do you do it? Do you witness others? Do you carry out what you say you believe? See, I was happy today to go out to lunch, have a wonderful time of fellowship at our table, have a waitress that we gave a hard time cut up with and let her know that we were the best table in the restaurant. She was blessed to be serving us. And she laughed and we just had a wonderful time. Here's what I was really happy about. When we got ready to leave and the track was left along with the tip, she goes, oh, I got another one of these at another table. Boy, I tell you what, this preacher was happy. Boy, we're not the only ones. There's other folks out there, other folks in our congregation that are loving on people, inviting them to church, and letting them know we are. Let me tell you something. That young lady, when we left, she was impressed with two different tables being so kind to her and encouraging her. We were the I didn't realize this, but we were the first two tables she served as she started her shift. I think we set the pace for her day. We got through, got ready to leave. I went to the restroom, washed my hands, got ready to go out. She'd come by with sir cleaning up the table, and I went by and I said, Martha, can I say once again, it was such a joy to have you serving us. We really and not only enjoyed the food and the fellowship among us, you were just a pure delight. And she looked at me, she goes, well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed serving you folks as well. I said, but now I know you enjoyed serving us better than you did that other table, didn't you? No, I'm just kidding. But she will remember us the next time we come in. Things like that will cause waitresses to say, you know, I'll take that table. I'll take that table. Because we know that we're kind and that we're generous and we leave a tip and we leave a track. Oh, I'm treading on thin ice here. Yes, brother. Oh, yeah, right. We... just a blessing to see that and for her to pause and to stop. In fact, I felt bad because we lingered a little while, talking a little while. Part of our group got up and left, and some of us stayed there. And she came by, and I apologized, and she said, you know, y'all enjoy yourself. Stay as long as you would like to talk. She must have got a really good tip. But just take your time. What a joy. And dear friends, that sets the pace and the guideline, and being friendly like that to people makes it so much easier to tell them about Christ. It makes it so much easier when they see you as being a loving and not a stuffy churchgoer, but someone who is friendly, lively, interested in their life, even asking them questions about themselves to let them know you're concerned. And even sometimes, I should have done it today, often I will ask them, I will ask a waitress, we're going to pray for our meal in a few moments. Was there a thing that you would like us to pray for you about? I have never had a waitress tell me, no, don't pray for me. Never. I have had them, I have caught them off guard, and they say, you know, let me go get your water and think about that. I think I would really appreciate that. And they went, they got our water, came back, and then shared and lingered for a few moments, sharing some of the burdens on their hearts. And we prayed for that dear young lady. Dear friends, do we monthly, weekly, daily seek opportunities to tell other people about Christ? Do the folks you work with every day know you are saved? Do the people that see us in a regular going in our bubble in our life that we live know that we are churchgoers because we have invited them to church? Folks, I've invited some people to church so many times that I felt like they hated to see me coming. And so I would make a deal with them. I'll tell you a couple stories and I'll be done. I would tell them, all right, you don't have to run. I'll make a deal with you. I'll tell you what we can do that I'll never invite you to church again. I go, okay, what? I said, show up one time. Show up one time, and I promise I'll never invite you again. Hopefully, we'll treat you so many different ways that you're bound to like one of them. God gives us opportunities, and I think another good way to impress people, and this is not a gimmick. This is if you're being sincere. We were at a place once, and the children were sitting in the lobby. Mom and Dad had to go see an attorney back in the room for a power of attorney, and the children stayed out. I didn't think anything about it. The kids were great. There's three of them. Now, the older brother was getting on the younger brother, younger sister, telling them to behave, reminding them, you know what Mom and Dad said? I'm in charge. You guys got to behave. We don't want to get in trouble. And he was trying to be a good big brother. When all was said and done, when we left, we got on the elevator about the same time they did. We stepped in. The doors were getting ready to close. I reached my hand in, and he helped me stop it. Michelle and I stepped in, and the doors closed. And I looked to him, and I said, sir, you should be very proud of your kids. I said, we were out in the lobby part of the time that you were in there. They were very well behaved. They responded to their brother. Their brother wasn't a bully. He was kind, compassionate with his siblings. I'm impressed. You're doing a good job. That big gentleman in the military, you see that little tear swelled up in his eye and said, sir, thank you. Most of the time people hear things that are criticizing their kids and not complimenting them. What an opportunity that God opened up for us there to step into the next opportunity, that the next time I saw him to say hello, ask how they're doing, even ask the name of the kids and ask how they were doing, and then ask them, now that you're settled in, have you found a place to go to church yet? And invited them to church. God will give us opportunities, and we need to ask ourselves, am I a casual believer or am I a Christ-like believer? And now it is our time, your time, to examine our hearts before God in answering this question. Am I more like Christ? Have I been more like Christ or more like my flesh? Am I doing what I can to tell others and introduce them to the Lord and tell them how they can have a home in heaven? Our little track, I think I later down the line, I want to rewrite it. I like the design on the front that says everyone needs a home. But I think I'd like to make some changes that adapt with that message I preached several weeks ago about everyone needs three homes. It says everyone needs a home on the front, and on the back it has a gospel message. I'd like to include that gospel message but add those three homes. Dear friends, how often does God give us opportunities that we just miss? Guys, think about it for a moment. How many times have our wives told us, you missed it. You missed it. You had a great opportunity there. And I'm referring to other things, not just spiritual things. We have opportunities. But when's the last time we got ready to leave the house and we said, Lord, give me an opportunity today to talk to someone about the Lord, invite them to the church to give them a track. Give me an opportunity to sow a relationship, if it's not the right time, that later I might be able to sow the seed. And first of all, that's showing ourselves friendly and making friends. I tell you what, I have met so many people since we've been here outside of the church, usually around the ice cream aisle, but I've met a lot of people. And I talk to them, I'm friendly. I've helped people and told them what's the best ice cream and what maker makes it the best. I mean, I just talk it up and then catch them off guard and laugh, and then I come back and invite them to church or look for an opportunity to see them again. Because some of those folks, it seems like I see them every time I go in the grocery store, every time I pump my gas. I almost always see someone that I've seen before. So I've started trying to establish a friendship of knowing someone, saying ho or being friendly, so when I have the opportunity, I can invite them to church. It might even be sometimes it's more than that. And some years ago, I challenged a church family in our church to do these very same things. He said, preacher, I want to be a help. I've got these men who work under me. They're not saved. They're worldly. They use the Lord's name in vain. How can I handle it? I said, well, brother, you're the NCO in charge. Tell them. Remind them. In fact, regulation tells that using bad language in the military is unbecoming of an officer or an NCO. Just go ahead and confront them and then let them know that I agree with it because I'm a Christian and I really not rather not hear you take the Lord's name in vain. He said, I had a young man come to me and apologize with a tear in his eye. And he says, you know, I'm a Christian, but at least I think I am. And I've gotten so far away from the things of God, I don't know what to do. He told me the very next service, and that Sunday morning after the service, I went to that young soldier's home, I knocked on the door, and I led him to Christ. The soldier that he worked under had already laid the groundwork. He was ready, and they were very faithful in our church for some several months and weeks and years before they rotated out. But dear friends, stories don't always turn out that way, but sometimes they do, and we don't know until we go through that door. And if we'll show ourselves to be friendly, God will give us ample opportunities to be a Christ-like believer and not just a casual believer. Let's stand together for prayer. heads are bowed, and we'll have a play and ask God's blessings on our time together tonight. What a joy it has been to be here. Brother Chris, would you please dismiss us in prayer?